Today on Real Radio.
Joshua said, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow God's going to do great wonders. Well, that day has arrived. And if you don't step out in faith and trust God for what he has said, you will never, as a Christian, see God do any significant work in your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his series through the book of Joshua. Now, this is a fascinating look at how the assistant to Moses, Joshua, led the people of Israel into the Promised Land. The priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant literally had their feet wet in the water as they prepared to cross this mile-wide stretch of the Jordan River. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a valuable lesson in the art and skill of trusting our Maker. It's a look at verses 13 and 14 of Joshua chapter 3, and it's called Taking a Step of Faith.
Last week we saw how they had come to the edge. They had come to the edge of Jordan, and they were contemplating what in the world was God going to do. They had been instructed to go to the edge water there of the river, the Jordan River overflowing its banks at that time. And they were there in obedience and standing there. Joshua made the announcement to the priests that God would deliver them and do great things. And then he turns to the people and makes a great announcement to them. And in fact, by way of reviewing, let's remember this. In chapter 1 of Joshua, there's the positional working of God and faith of Joshua there, chapter 1. He's encouraged many, many times to trust in God and lean upon him. And remember, God is not a respecter of persons. What God said to Joshua, he says to me. What God says to Joshua, he says to you. And so in Joshua chapter 1, if you're ever feeling discouraged or inadequate, as no doubt Joshua was feeling, God wrote for him and spoke to him, Joshua chapter 1, encouraging him. And there was a message there in that chapter that is unlike any other in the Bible, where there are so many words of encouragement given to a prophet of God in such a short few amount of verses. In chapter 2, we saw that Rahab's individual faith was honored, that the spies came in chapter 2, they entered Jericho, and Rahab in her faith, she said, I know in whom the God that you serve, I know all the things that he's been doing in the life of the children of Israel. And this whole city and all the country trembles. Their hearts are melting inside. We know that they were absolutely terrified that the children of Israel were coming. And it wasn't because of the children of Israel. It was the God that they trusted in. And Rahab said, when you come and invade our land, will you spare me and my family? And by faith, the Bible says she was justified in the book of Hebrews 11. And then in chapter 3, as we've been seeing in these two studies, there's the national faith of Israel as a people. Will the people who claim to believe in God move in the Spirit and in the power and trusting in the Word of God? Will they move on? And in fact, they do. Last time in our study, we saw in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, that the officers had a message for the people of God. It says there in verse 3, then you shall set out from your place and go after the ark. And so the officers, Joshua commanded to speak to the people. We also saw in verse 5 last week that Joshua had a message to all of the people. He said to them, sanctify yourselves. And we saw that that word sanctify means to dedicate oneself, to come out from what is normal and be dedicated unto God. The word sanctification in the New Testament means to be washed, to be cleansed. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the Bible says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see God. Personal holiness is a result of being sanctified, where you determine, I am going to follow the Lord my God, and God begins a very specific work of sanctification in your life. But you've got to make that decision. I'm going to follow the Lord. Joshua turned and he said to them, and he says to us, sanctify yourself. That is, stop playing with the world. Stop playing with the world and flirting with the world. Get out away from it and follow hard after God. This was a spiritual sanctification that resulted in a change in their outward conduct. In verse 6 of last week, we saw that Joshua had a message to all the priests. He said there to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. They were given the plan. We saw also in verses 7 through 8 that the Lord's message came to Joshua again. And it says, this day, Joshua, I will begin to exalt you in sight of all the people. And he encouraged him. He said, as I was with Moses, I'm going to show the people that I'm with you. And so God spoke to him personally. And then finally, last week, we saw in verses 9 through 13 that again, Joshua had a message to give to the people. And briefly, in four verses, it summed up the totality of their great protection and of their great deliverer. Joshua said in verse 9 last week, he said, the Lord your God. And we saw that that word is the great I am, Yahweh, the eternal God. He says that the Lord your God, he is with you. In verse 10, he says that the living God, that's the word El, or the Almighty, the living God. He's not only Yahweh God, the existing God for all eternity and for all time, but he's also the great Almighty. And verse 11, we saw that he's also the Lord of all the earth, Adonai. God, the Lord, is the Lord of all of the earth. And then again, it's repeated in verse 13 that the Lord of all the earth is the one that's going over before them, signifying his possession of not only the earth, but of the Jordan River. That's significant. If you're standing with him at the edge waters of the Jordan and it's overflowing its banks, you want to know, you want to hear again that your God is the God of all the earth. And in that, you will be encouraged because you're standing there between this invincible or apparently invincible obstacle, the great river overflowing its banks, some say about a mile wide at this point, going swiftly. And Joshua says, listen, everybody, be encouraged. He's the Lord of all the earth. And that certainly included the Jordan River. And so the point was made very clear. And that point being that when you see the Ark of the Lord cross over, he's going over before you into the Jordan. And so the Ark, get it in your mind's eye, the Ark is in front of all the people. It is up on the shoulders of the priest. It is elevated some 3 feet high or so, much the size of this pulpit, up on their shoulders. And it is draped, by the way, in a beautiful royal blue cloth. So you don't see the gold. You don't see all the intricate workings of the Ark. But the Ark of the Covenant is now being borne by the staves, the poles on the priest's shoulders, and they're out in front. Then there's Joshua and Eleazar, the priest, and then there's the people. 2.5 million people getting ready to cross over against Jordan and Jericho. In John chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, and when he brings out his own sheep, that is Jesus, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. God is always going before us. And the Ark is typifying the presence of God. In Matthew 28:7, the angel of the Lord announced to the disciples, he says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. It was Galilee that their earthly ministry would begin. And Jesus was saying to them through the angel, announcing, he'll go before you. And that's true for us today. God will always go before us. But a very important point was made and made very clear. Because if you are not willing to step out of your comfort zone, like perhaps maybe someone in that group was scared to do, the fact of the matter is you will never see God do great wonders. Joshua said, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow God's going to do great wonders. Well, that day has arrived. And if you don't step out in faith and trust God for what he has said, you will never, as a Christian, see God do any significant work in your life. And so put yourselves in the sandals of these people. Because in fact, I am convinced, as the Lord put upon my heart this message, that he's speaking to us this morning about people who step out in faith. We need to move in faith. And so the text reads before us, Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. He says, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, little parentheses here, a little bit of information, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole harvest. He says, verse 16, that the waters which come down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, or we would say the Dead Sea today, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. First point we want to see this morning in taking the step of faith, verses 14 and 15. And that is, the people had prepared themselves, being sanctified, heeding Joshua's word. We look at verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over. Very important. The flow of the narrative is really dynamic here. In the Hebrew, it's like a gigantic sentence. It's almost though Joshua begins telling the story and he's so excited he can't stop. And it flows in one gigantic sweep of a miracle. But what arrests our attention right now is in verse 14 when it says, so it was when the people set out. Because of what Joshua had commanded them, because of whom they had believed in, they began to move out. They were trusting God. Listen, what about you? What about me? Has God done a work in your life? Well, first of all, I hope for many or all of you, that He has first of all saved you. You've come to Christ and you understand you need Him as Lord and Savior. He has saved you. But, you know, He's also brought you here today. He's kept you healthy somewhat. There are some of you in here that are very sick. But God has given you life. You're here today. And we look to God, and we don't often think this way, but day by day, God wants to get us through this life and work a work in us. And so the people had gathered themselves in faith. They were trusting in the Lord. And the Bible says, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan. First thing I want you to realize is that the people had understanding and they had a motive. The people had prepared themselves, yes, but they also had an understanding. They believed in God, and that's what we ought to do as a church. We should always be believing in God, and I know that you and I fail from time to time. Do you know that? You and I fail. There's lapses of faith in our lives. Are you aware of that? Some of you, and they're still working on the lighting, some of you, I believe by faith, are sitting over here in this section that I can't see. But there are areas in our lives where we can't see. And you look around, and it's the Jordan River right in your life. How am I ever going to get through this thing? Well, they had understanding. They looked back over the past, and this generation knew what God had done for them. But let me encourage you, those of us who are sometimes weak in faith, we have doubts. Even in the midst of a godly, awesome work as this, don't think for a moment that the children of Israel crossing over were all a bunch of super saints, that they would by no means be able to relate to us. No, they were just like us. And in this camp, we'll see in subsequent studies, was a man by the name of Achan, who committed a great sin. They're not all super saints. I'm sure that in the group of 2.5 million, there were those saying, we're going to drown. We're going to perish. There's always people like that around. I don't appreciate them, but they're always around. Let's go. They'll give you 5,000 reasons why you ought not to go. These people are moving in faith. They had understanding of God, and that's good. Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says, these all, that is the believers, continued in one accord. That word means co-spirited. They were in one spirit, one mind, in prayer and supplication. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, regarding the church, regarding who we are, says, now, on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, they were all there, co-spirited, in one accord and in one place. It's good that we're here today. But we need to be like-minded, and we need to be filled with faith. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, the Bible says, "So they continued daily, co-spirited, that is in one accord, in the temple, breaking bread from house to house." So they had home fellowships going on. "They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." And the result was, listen to the result. The result was, "And the Lord added to the church daily those that should be saved." We need to be together. It's hard to get all of us together in one spot, but we need to be together in our attitude and in our mindset concerning the Lord and what He wants to do in our lives. When we're trusting God, there's no limit to what God can do in our lives if we just trust Him. "Well, Jack, that sounds great for the church, and we've seen things happen, and we're really blessed by that, but what about my home?" The same is true for your home, if not more so. God wants to do great things in your life, in your home, in your business, with you, among you. "Well, we're a family that has been alienated from God, and we're just checking out churches, and we're hoping God will speak to us today." God is saying to you today that you trust Him, believe in His Word, because He wants to do great things in your life. It's the way He works. Aren't you glad that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not a boring God? I love what the Bible says. He's the God of the living. God finds it boring to be among the dead. Maybe you've been to a church. I know I've been to a church or two where you swear you smell formaldehyde in the sanctuary. Or I tell you what's tough is when you're speaking at a dead church. You'll say something that's really awesome from the Word and it blesses your heart, and the people are just looking at their watch, rolling their eyes. "Jesus died, you would announce to save all of us." And people go, "Oh, brother. Oh, that's pitiful." No, He's the God of the living. He's the God of those whom, through Him, He wants to be dynamic. I love this. When we're trusting in God, I believe, and don't tell me if you disagree, because I don't want to hear it. I believe that my Bible teaches me that when I'm trusting in Him and doing His will, that we together are invincible. I really believe it. Invincible. That we're going to be able to accomplish that which He's called us to do. Even how impossible it might look. They had their motive, the people did, and that was to cross the Jordan River. God said it, spoke to Joshua, let's cross it. The word here, to cross, is an interesting word. It means to allow yourself to travel. "Oh, I love to travel," you might say. Well, good, allow God to take you wherever He wants. And your hand kind of goes down a little bit. What? The word means to cross over, to cross, to allow yourself to travel. The word also can be translated to willfully be brought to a place, to go without resistance, to allow yourself to accept the offer that's being made. God makes you an offer. Are you willing to say yes to Him just based upon who He is? God says, "I want to do this in your life. I want to get you across this Jordan." Are you willing? Are you willing to say, "Lord, I want to travel with You"? Isn't that great? "I'll go wherever You go, Lord." It kind of echoes the words that Ruth mentioned to Naomi. "Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where You go, I'll go." That should be the Christian's discipleship response, you know? "Lord, wherever You want to go, I'll go." Well, the Lord was going to go across the Jordan River. And you would have been a bozo. Hebrew, bozo in Hebrew is fool. You would have been a fool not to go across with them. Can you imagine tapping your sandal on the shore? "I'm not going. I'm just not going to go." You know, once that group crossed and those priests got out of the water, you were separated once and for all from the people. No going back. The Christian is either advancing or backsliding. "Well, I'm just standing still." A Christian cannot stand still. We are created as a dynamic. In your life, in my life, in fact, this is so good. We ought to set a little meter. In my office, I have a barometer. And it's very accurate. And it shows all the changes that go on in the weather and and all, and you can see, you can record each day. You can see what's happening with the air pressure. It's always moving. Something's going on. And in the Christian life, can you look at a barometer? Can you look at 1998 and say, this is what happened in my life? And then now look at this year of 99 and say, this is where my barometer spiritually is at now, and where do I want to be? What's my motive for the end of this year? Are we going to cross over together? Do we want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? I want to be able to look back and say, man, the Lord has really worked a work in my life. And we all want to say that, I would venture to say. By the way, the opposite of the word crossover is found in verse 32:9. This is the opposite. God says, do not be like the horse or like a mule, which have no understanding, which you must harness with a bridle and a bit, else they will not come to you. God says, I don't want to put a bridle and a bit around you and drag you around. You come to me willfully. So it says in verse 14, with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows its banks at harvest time. This to me is absolutely spectacular. In verse 15, we see this action, this step of faith. And do you think that the 2.5 million people behind the priest, do you think they were sleeping at this moment? Do you think that they were not into the situation? The priests begin to move. Everybody's looking. Remember, they're what, 3,000 feet out ahead of them, remember, from last week? They begin to move. Now, what if you're one of those priests? Okay, guys, let's get going. Let's move this ark. Let's go. And you're heading right to the water. You hear it going by. You see it. It's roaring. And what do you think they were thinking about? You know what they were thinking. Oh, God, do something with this water. And as they got closer, as they moved closer and closer with that ark up on their shoulders, oh, Lord God, those guys were praying, man. Were they sweating? No, not technically. According to the Bible, they were not allowed to sweat. Did you know that? The priests of the Lord, the Bible commands, are not to sweat. If you're sweating in the ministry, then you should probably get out of it. If the church is a panic to you, then maybe you should let go of it. If you're trying to do everything and run it on your own, even though God's provided people, then you should step down and take a break. The priests of the Lord are not to sweat. I love that. Lord, you're the one. I remind them often about that. Lord, you're the one that said the priests are not to sweat, so I'm not going to sweat. So you need to do whatever you do in things like this, Lord. Pretty fun to watch him work and watch him move. And I know you know that's true in your own life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at verses 13 and 14 of Joshua chapter 3, we call this lesson Taking a Step of Faith. It's a valuable lesson in how trusting our Creator is an art and a skill that we learn while we grow and experience the sanctification process. Taking a step of faith, it's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this incredible historical narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, you can always go online to realradioactive.org and listen to today's edition of Real Radio as many times as you'd like. You can also hear past programs. You can even subscribe to our podcasts of Real Radio if you'd like. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.